you're struggling, and prayer is not enough. Bible study is not enough. Coming here is not enough. Things that, then you may need to seek some medical advice. And we encourage that. We encourage that here. This isn't a place where, you know, science is here and God is here. No, God is the God of science. God created, helps us through doctors and through science and all of that. And so we believe that God is the master of all the universe. And so everything that contained wherein is his. And so we want to utilize the tools that God has given to us. And hopefully you've been able to see some of that during this sermon series. We've talked about the importance of emotional health for spiritual growth, the roadblocks to emotional health, the path to emotional health, and today we're going to talk about the fruit of emotional health. Last week, as we dealt with the path to emotional health, we looked at Zechariah 13, 1 through 6, and we looked at this prophet that was hiding the scars that he had, and I use the illustration of the fact that sometimes we hide our scars. And you can't ever really come to truth and come to a solution if we're in hiding. And so we have to reveal the pains and the wounds that we've been dealing with. And so we talked about being honest with ourselves, where we are, with our struggles, and truly that honesty, as Jesus said, will set us free. Also being hopeful, that whatever condition you are right now, however you're feeling right now, that hope is going to give you the strength to continue moving forward, knowing that, look, I know there's setbacks, but we're going to put our trust and our faith that God is going to open the door and make a way, because that is the God that we serve. Also being courageous, having those courageous conversations. As we said, there's a lot of stigma attached to mental health. And so it takes courage to step out there and say, I need help. But we encourage you to take that step. It'll be the greatest step you've ever made in your life. And then on last, we also talked about being resilient, continuing the path. You know, this is the one thing about life. We get better, and then we get worse again. And we get better, and then we get worse. And you know, and so you're up and down. And those times when you're down, don't just stay down. Don't just stay down. Continue looking for a solution. Today we're going to look at the fruit of emotional health. And I want to turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh's passions and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we are yours. And it's important that we recognize and remember that we are yours. Lord, sometimes we step out of your will. Sometimes we act, talk in ways that are not according to your standard. Father, sometimes we run from you. And whenever those things happen, Lord, there's great stress placed upon each and every one of us. And we pray, Father, that as we look at this message today, that we might see hope, not running from you, Lord, but running to you. That as we recognize that everything that we have, Lord, you have an answer. We might not have discovered it yet, but Lord, the answer is there, and the answer is always in you. It's always in listening silently to you, Lord, and to you leading each and every one of us. As I stated earlier, Lord, the scripture sometimes isn't enough. Prayer isn't always enough, but these are great tools that help us and comfort us and aid us in giving us direction. And so we pray that we might embrace all the good things, that we might let go of anything that's holding us back from being all that we can be in you. Father, bless, protect us, Lord, all of us, Lord, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Help us to grow in all areas of our life, understanding that it's all connected, Lord. There's not a spiritual us and an emotional us and a physical. They all are housed in one place, Lord. And we just pray that once again that we might be able to use these tools to make sure that all parts of us are whole and healing and healthy and moving in the right direction. Father, bless, God, protect, watch over, and keep us, and continue to challenge us to be more and more like the very image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We start out with the fruit of the Spirit because this is what the fruit produces. When you look at a tree, you recognize that tree at some point, you plant an apple tree, praise God, hopefully at some point, it's going to be producing some apples. And as Christians, it's saying that if we're being led by the Spirit, if we're allowing the Spirit to lead our lives, that there's going to be a production of certain things. Here's the production. This is what it produces. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. These are the things that produces in our lives as we allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit. And Jesus makes a statement in John chapter 15. He says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. He said, but if you remain in me, you will bear much, much fruit. These fruits, they come about because we continue to stay connected to the vine. And as I said in my prayer, there are some times where we're going through stress and problems and situations, and instead of running to God, we run far, far away from God. You see even some Bible greats that have done that. If you remember Elijah on Mount Carmel after he had this great battle, and then suddenly he's gone. Why? What caused him to run? Fear. There was something emotionally that was stopping him from being the prophet, from acting in the way that he had acted in the past. The strength he had. I mean, look at the bravado he had on Mount Carmel, even calling out these false prophets and all that. And you see a man that was truly confident in who he believed and what he believed, and yet, just like that, it seems, at least as we read through Scripture, it seems that just like that, fear enters into him. This emotion comes into him, and it stops him from moving in the direction that he was going, and it pushes him away, or he allows it to pull him away. And you notice what ends up happening in his life. There's neglect that starts happening. How did he neglect? Well, first of all, he left the company of other people, right? He told his servant, stay here. He goes alone. What else? He's not eating right? Because that was a solution. When the angel came, the angel made him rest. The angel made him eat. The angel, you know, I don't know if sometimes you've been in stress and all this kind of stuff, and it causes, man, you can have your favorite plate right in front of you, your favorite meal, and look at it. Yeah, I'm all right. I'm good. Right? So sometimes our emotions stop us from doing the work that God wants us to do, from being the men and women that God would have us to be because of that. And so one of the things that we need to do, and I'm glad that that's there in the Scripture, that Elijah finally has to come to a moment where he sees himself. You know, what are you doing here? Remember the questions that were asked to him? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? You know, and it's sad as we're, I mean, not sad, but it's important to recognize a statement I made last few weeks. You know, you can't be all that God wants you to be when there's a struggle going on here. I mean, you can only put the face up for so long, right? You can't be the man or woman that God desires you to be when every moment it's hard to just get out of bed, right? And so it's important as we're talking about emotional health, and we've already discussed it so many times, that we really are real with ourselves. That we look to God, and we look for solutions where they are found. Here are some disciplines that we need to practice that will help us. Prayer, obviously, right? We've got so many scriptures to tell us. Look, pray without ceasing. You know, continue. Matter of fact, make that, when it talks about prayer without ceasing, it doesn't mean continue praying until, you know, right, like right now. You ought to still be praying. The Bible says pray without ceasing. No, this is a habit. This is a discipline. This is something that ought to be in your tool chest always. We ought to pray without ceasing. This ought to be a part of who we are. When I'm stressed, when you're going through something, the first place you need to go is prayer. It's not the only place. It's the first place. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Read scriptures. How do scriptures help us? Direction, amen. What else? All right. Encouragement. Solutions. Let me throw one more word, and those are all right and good examples. I don't know about you, but I gain comfort in seeing David. I gain comfort in Job. I gain comfort, you know, even in seeing the Jesus as he's weighed down with the sins of this world, and he's trying to manage this also. We see the conflict that's going on there as the perfect man of God with all the sins of the world upon his shoulders. And for a moment, we see him say this statement, Father, you know, that he's saying, look, let this cup pass over me. What? For a moment, we see even Jesus dealing with this. And so it shows me, well, wow, you know, when I'm going through something, I'm not alone. I'm not alone in this. I'm not the crazy one. At least I'm not any crazier than David or Elijah or any others. Amen. I'm in good company. But yet, once again, we need to look for solutions also. Worship. Worship helps us. It helps us to. Yeah, I don't know if you know, but I do know. You know. You know. I'm being a little facetious here. How many times have you struggled to get in the door and you got here? And then when you left, it's like, shh, I needed that. I needed that encouragement. I needed a place where I could encourage and give and share with others. I needed a place where I could be able to look to God and gain some hope and a different perspective. From where I am right now. And so these are things that help us. It's unfortunate, once again, and that's why we're bringing this up, that so many, when we're stuck in situations, we kind of stay stuck. And sometimes we even like being stuck. Right? Turn the blues music on, you know, and just continue listening. Oh, man, look, Mahalia Jackson's beautiful. But not all the time, all right? You know, I mean, there are some things that, you know, you ought to recognize we can't stay stuck in these places. At some point, we got to come to realization. I got to do something different. And so worship gives us this opportunity to come before the Lord, gain a different perspective, help us in our walk, and be able to share also. You know, when we're here together, I'm blessed just by your presence, and I hope you're blessed by my presence. And I think there's a synergy. There's something that happens when we come together and we're aiding and blessing and helping and encouraging each other. Because out in this world, there's a lot of problems. There's a lot of things. I was looking at the news yesterday, and Truthfully, I'm trying to say this in a good Christian way. I was upset. I'll just say it like that. But what upset me was reading some news article about a parent that did some devastating thing to their own children. And then as you start reading the news and seeing the wickedness of man and start continuing to really look at it, that can taint your spirit. You see the wars that are going on. You see the people in positions and powers and how they take advantage of people and all that. That can taint you. And I think when we were talking on last year when all the politics was going on and all that, I even gave you some encouragement. You remember what it was? Turn the TV off. Turn the news off. Because I needed it. I think I was speaking. We were talking earlier. Sometimes we're preaching to ourselves when we're up here, right? I was preaching to myself because I was listening to the news all the time, and I'm recognizing, wow, it's tainting how I view the world. It's tainting how I feel about certain things. And so sometimes the best thing is say, all right, goodbye, Fox. Goodbye, CNN. Goodbye, MSNBC. Goodbye. Whatever your choice is, I guarantee you it's not the best choice, any of them. Here's the best choice. Here's the best. And I'm not saying be a hermit and don't know what's going on and all that, but I think you understand a balance. There's a balance needed for everything in life. Talking about that balance leads us into that four, fasting. Fasting is a time to take a break. Take a break from what's going on, a time to abstain from food in order to focus on God, to see the very power that God has in our own lives. He has the power to sustain us. Even when we think it's the food sustaining us, in fasting you recognize, oh, it's not just food. You know, we've been made, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. God has made this temple in such a way that it can continue to operate and all of that. And as you do that and you let go of that, urges and desires and things like that become easier to manage also. If you've never experienced fasting, talk to me about it later, and we can talk about it. But it's something that oftentimes, once again, we don't talk a lot about, but it's a beautiful discipline to get in the practice of. And here's my disclaimer on that. Before you do anything like that, talk to your doctors, okay? Brother Ray said, I should fast, but you're a diabetic. You better go talk to your doctor. I did not say that, all right? Meditation. And Sabbath rest. I'm gonna group a few of these together so we're not on this slide forever. But we talked about meditation and just stopping and thinking. Sabbath rest, same idea. God made the Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath. What does he mean by that? He created this Sabbath, and this obviously we're not under the old covenant law or anything like that, but in the old covenant, he gave this Sabbath as a rest for the people so that we didn't burn out. It's a beautiful thing to see. And I know some of y'all don't like Chick-fil-A and all that, but that's a beautiful thing to see. Chick-fil-A closes on Sunday and yet is able to make just as much or more in profit than these companies that stay open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Why? Rest. This principle works. It works in business. It works in your life. It will work. But guess what? It's a discipline. It's something we have to practice. It's something that's not commonly talked about and dealt with. And so because of that, we just kind of keep doing what everyone else is doing. And then, of course, confession, admitting our own sins, asking for forgiveness, getting freed from that. Service, utilizing the talents that God has given to us. You know, waking up with purpose is so important. It helps us. Amen. We have nothing to do, and every morning it's just life becomes mundane, and then all of a sudden you start looking, go, man, what's the purpose of my existence? Just like the story I shared on last week about the young man when he found out he had a purpose. He decided to continue living. And then, of course, a community. This, vitally important. I was telling my wife this, when my wife and I were talking about it this morning and I was sharing with somebody else, this morning was a battle for me. And I've been detoxifying and taking something, taking this medicine, and I'm losing a little bit of weight and all that. But I didn't know how strong this stuff was. It's like the second time something like this happened to me, right? All right, but this morning I felt like, I might have to call somebody. And then my mind said, no, I gotta finish. And it was a battle this morning. It was a battle. But I said, you know what, I gotta share, I gotta fight through this, I gotta be able to do it. And the fact that just getting in the doors this morning, just being in Bible study, right now, I don't have a care in the world right now. I feel great. I'm gonna just tell you right now, I'll do 5 laps around here right now. Sometimes you just get through the door, just get into the hospital. I mean, you might not feel like it, but get into the hospital, and then whenever you leave, you always leave better. Don't you always leave better? And you came in? Is it just me? It's not just me? Okay, it's a few more people. Amen. I got an amen out there somewhere. Okay, all right. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Come on now. See, emotional health is so important. Why? It's going to impact everything. You're not going to have the same joy. You're not going to have the same outlook and perspective on different things. You're not going to have the same type of hope and all that when you're drowning in despair. No, emotional health is going to affect every aspect of your life. You're not going to be the best person on the job. Husband, wife, child, et cetera, when you're dealing with something strong on the inside. And as I shared, you know, just once again, we're gonna tell you to pray. We're gonna tell you to read the scriptures. We're gonna do those things and do them. Continue to do them, and at the same time, you recognize and realize, you know what? I need something more. There's no shame in asking for help. When Jesus sees this man, you know why? Why won't, you know, what's stopping you from being well? And he made all these excuses. Let's throw excuses out. You know what? I need to be the man that God wants me to be. And if I've been struggling in emotionally, struggling with addiction, struggling with just turmoil and despair and anxiety and all these type of things, fears and phobias and all, at some point we have to get to the realization, I've got to do something different. And I won't tell you your story, but there's some people right in this room right now. I know your story. You know your story. And I see great blessings in someone finally reaching out to a medical professional for help and how it's blessed and enhanced the lives of some people I'm looking at right now. You know you are. So what I'm saying is let's go and do that. And let's recognize that in order to be the best we can be for Christ, it starts with being the best we can be here on the inside. See, me, been through it myself. You know, I remember a time of great depression. I didn't understand it. Still, you know, and truthfully, my wife had been encouraging me to go talk to somebody professionally, and I didn't do it. I didn't. Pride stopped. I'm not a person that I do open up to people, but still almost to a level. I think all of us have that. We were going through some stuff in the church. This was at First State. And, you know, we started the congregation and the work, you know, the work is a work. It's a work. And it came to a point where I wanted to just give up completely. On the inside, there was no joy. I still got up and I preached and taught and did all those things. But on the inside, I was just dying on the inside. Finally, we had a revival. And a preacher came from New York, Brother Dave Wilson, David Wilson, Kings, New York. And we had a chance to go out and eat. And I said, you know what? I'm going to just throw it out there. I'm going to be courageous and just throw it out there. And it's hard. I mean, especially this is a person I looked up to, I look up to still, you know, and then to show scars to someone and say, look, I'm not whole. I'm not doing well. And first of all, that in itself is freeing. That in itself is freeing. Just having the conversation. And from that conversation, there were some other conversations. And from there, you know, I won't get into all the details and all that, but I found some solutions. But it took a talk. It took being courageous. It took saying something to somebody and showing your scars and not caring about what they think any longer. I want to be whole. I want to be whole. You know, there's a book, in Mark chapter 5. There's two different case situations in there. Of course, I reference often the Gadarene demoniac in Mark chapter 5. And we see the amazing transformation that happens when what was on the inside, the Lord casts it out. When this man that is plagued with this legion of demons, finally Jesus casts him into the swine and drowns the swine and all that. And this man is now free from all the things, the turmoil that he had on the inside. And you see this remarkable thing that's stated. It says that they saw him clothed and in his right mind. Then there's another story. In there also, there's this woman with the issue of blood in that same chapter, and the same thing. She had been going to doctors, she had been going to others, and all that, and no one could help her. Nobody could heal her. She saw hope in Jesus. She saw hope that the doctors couldn't give her. That her past, everything else that she tried in the past never helped her. She saw hope in Jesus. Jesus responded, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. This shows us that first of all, it takes great faith to just even step out. Right? When the disciples were trying to hold people back, stay away from Jesus. Stay away from Jesus. She could have looked at that situation and said, you know what? Well, they're pushing them back. They're not letting anyone go. But you see a resilience that is in her that says, no, I see a source of hope and healing, and I've got to get there. I've got to make my way through the crowd. I've got to push through because nothing else I've tried has worked. And she does. She leaves us a great example also, showing us that we've got to reach out. We've got to get out of our comfort zone. We've got to even fight against the different stigmas that are out there. We really got to go with, I'm going to use one of Dave Ramsey's, with gazelle intensity to go after a solution for this big problem. Jesus desires to heal us and help us in every area of our life. But we gotta want it. And we have to go after it. And we have to recognize that there is a source, there is a solution for our problem. And Jesus is the fixer. That doesn't mean it's an instantaneous thing. In her case, yeah, it was an instantaneous. In others, maybe it's a process. It's a process of us getting to see ourselves, getting to get to that realization that, you know, maybe it could be like my situation where you just needed to have a conversation with someone, get some new perspectives, get some new helps, and get some new ideas of moving in different directions and things of that nature. Maybe there's an imbalance, a chemical imbalance in there, and you need to get tested and so it's hard to even go to the doctor and say anything. I don't even know what to tell them. Get there anyway. They'll prompt you. They'll ask you. They'll continue digging, hopefully, if they're good, and try to be able to help. And even if not, get back up. Continue going. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. These are scriptures I've been reading every week, and I'll continue to read it in your hearing right now. Psalm 147:3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Psalm 34:17, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. Matthew 11:28-30, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you may find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. God wants you and I whole. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, help us. We are all flawed, marred. All of us, Lord, struggle with being the image of Jesus Christ. Some of us, the emotion and the pain and things that are going on inside our minds, our emotions, sometimes we don't even understand ourselves, Lord. And we asked, Father, that you might help us. First, help us to reach out to you. Help us not to bottle all things in and hold it and just continue to put on the mask as if everything is going well. Lord, help us. Give us confidants and people that we can be able to confide in, Lord, and others that we know love us and care for us, that we can be able to show our scars. Father, help us to make the right choices. Help us to practice the spiritual disciplines that help us in every aspect of our life. Help us even come to the realizations when nothing else is working, Lord, that we've definitely, and it shouldn't be the last option, but that we should seek out medical help. And we should not look at it as something contrary or different or against you, Lord, and against your word, but that we recognize once again, you gave us medicine, you gave us doctors, you give us these resources, Lord. Help us to embrace what you give us. Lord, this life is a challenge. It's a hard road. It's even more challenging road as Christians. We not only have to live in this world, but we also have to try to attain to a perfect standard. That's impossible for us to reach. Help us to look at ourselves as you see us, Lord. You see our frailty. You see our weakness. And at times where we think we're so strong and all that, Lord, then we recognize that the power is not in us. It's all in you, Lord. Help us to grow in you that we might be able to produce the fruits as we get closer to you, as we stay attached to the vine, as we strive to live out our purpose in you. Help us, Father. Bless, guide, protect, and watch over each of us. Lord, I pray for those that might be struggling right now, then those that even through this message, hopefully, might be able to get touched, that one of these messages or something that was said or, you know, may have just moved somebody to finally say, I need help. Look at my scars. We love you, Lord. Pray that you might bless, protect, guide, and keep each and every one of us, Lord. Help us, protect us, direct us, Lord, in all ways. And we pray that we might be submissive to your will in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe there's somebody here this morning.